Welcome back to Moaz. In this episode, we're taking you to the screening of Fishers of Men, the documentary charting Moaz's beginnings and ongoing mission. This is the first time the film has gone in front of a large audience, as part of the Valletta Film Festival. Let's drop you into Piazza San George, Valletta. The film has just started.
Every person has a right to their opinion. I respect that. I respect that people are afraid of another culture impeding on theirs, their values, their morals, a different religion coming up. But migration does affect people. It does affect society. It will affect your culture, the way of life for your children and your grandchildren. And I think that the only time that normal people, I guess, so to speak, start to recognize that is when it directly affects them. But what about the other person? And do you care about that person?
The 75-minute documentary was made by an in-house team of creatives. Zane Dedlow is its editor.
I think the feeling is sort of overwhelming because you've been living with the story for a very long time, and especially when the story is a human story and it's about people and it's about the search for a better life, and being involved in trying to portray a story like that and trying to get behind a story like that and produce the best result possible to do change, because I think that's what film is about, and film is about change. And the feeling now to have people watch the film, it's a good feeling, and obviously the content matter is not a good content, but it's a good feeling to now finally get the story out there so people can potentially do something about it now.
Everybody, sit down, stay where you are, do not move, okay?
Rubber boats are easily manufactured. I think that's the difference mainly, that they're more available. The smugglers can't get as many people on them. They can get between 100 and 150 people on board these kind of handmade rubber dinghies that are made from very cheap plastic. And they usually put a 25 horsepower two-stroke engine on the back of it that would barely push anything. So they go a couple of knots, and eventually after 8 hours, they get out into international waters.
How important is setting the tone with a film like this?
Setting the tone with an audience is the most important part when making a film, because it's tricky, because you've got to balance whether you're representing human beings at the end of the day. You're representing a crisis, you're representing something real, something that's happening out there. So, and we mustn't forget that society is divided between left and right. That's how I can put it in the basic terms. We've got left people and we've got right people. So to set a tone for a film, I want to reach all those people. And so the tone has to be true to what's happening. Now, with this film, it was very easy to set the tone, because the tone is human stories, and it's not about having to make something bigger or faster or anything. It was just about showing real life. So setting the realism within the film, letting, like with the rescue sequences, I let them play out because I wanted the audience to watch what was happening, not just some quick news snippets. It was, let you be there. Let that be the tone of the film. Let you be really in the moment.
Come with me. Let's go.
How did you stay emotionally detached?
Of course, it's very difficult because my life became about watching all the footage, and that became day in, day out. And trying to separate my emotions from it was hard because I'm a human being at the end of the day. So when I saw something shocking, when I saw something that upset me, my emotions just came out and I couldn't help it. But what that said to me was, that's why I'm making this film, because I want that emotion to come out within the film, you know. So it was hard to detach, but I don't think, especially with making documentary, that you want to detach, because it's that feeling inside you, that emotion that drives you to want to make change with a film like this, to want to show people that emotion that you're feeling, you know.
When they are on the boat, they have this 2 days, 3 days of breathing, sleeping. It's a big rewarding because we know that we achieved what we want, to let them feel safe.
What is the lasting message of the film?
You see, that was the point of the film, right? And it was the hardest point to find within the film, because I didn't want to tell people what to think. I didn't want to say, you must want to believe to save people's lives at sea. What I wanted people to feel and go away with was, this is the situation. Have a look at what's going on. And that's what Chris and Regina have been trying to say for a long time. Look at the situation. And I'm pretty sure, as a human being, when you actually look at it, you can't help but want to do something. So I was hoping to leave everyone who's watched this film at the end with that feeling, like, you can't ignore the situation. You can only take from it and walk away and decide whether you care enough to maybe make change.
After the screening, it was time for the audience to meet the people behind MOAS. This is Joseph Zamet, a crewman with the Topaz Responder in 2016.
I joined the Topaz Responder throughout the summer. I did 5 months on board. It was a life-changing experience, to be honest. I have done rescues before. I've done fire and rescue. But compared to this, there's nothing like it. Get to touch human lives, get to save people, you get to pick up so much that people from the water, that the people, the world just doesn't see it, you know, and the world needs to see it.
My daughter-in-law lives in Seattle. This afternoon, she placed on my Facebook the publicity for this. I didn't know it was here. So my wife and I came here. The world should see this documentary, I think. Is there no one here who can help do that, get it to go viral, but on the most important TV channels? The world needs to see this. We owe it to the world. Send a copy to Pope Francis. Make sure everyone gets to see it. Please, thank you.
Thank you all very much for your work, for the very important work you do, and thank you for making the movie. I agree with the gentleman that it's extremely important that as many people as possible see the movie and learn about your work. My question is about the news I've seen in the last few weeks of people in Europe raising money to do the opposite of what you're trying to do, to obstruct your work. Are you afraid for your own safety when you're doing the rescue out at sea? And are you afraid of some kind of war taking place at sea with other people who sadly are not convinced of the value of what you do and who are trying to obstruct your work?
Thank you. I think that's a very valid and important question. I don't think we're worried because the law is very clear. We abide by the law. Everything we do, where we take people from beginning to end, our operations are by the letter of the law. What this organization intends to do, they're saying that they don't want to let people drown, that they want to rescue them, but take them back to Libya. That is, by the letter of the law, illegal. Libya is not a safe place to take people back to. There's a principle of non-refoulement which says that you can't take someone, if they're seeking asylum, you can't take someone back to a place where they're in danger of being mistreated again. And so that concept, the concept that they're putting forward is quite frankly illegal, and it's not up to us, it's up to the authorities to then handle their operations, because we cooperate completely with the authorities. From my side, as a PR and communications person, all I can say is that I would like you all to raise awareness against this organization and to support organizations like MOAS to make sure that we stay out there, because they're doing very well on playing on fears of people in Europe right now, and it's very easy for them to raise that kind of money. And so please spread this movie and the word with your friends and family to make sure that organizations like ours can keep working.
Now let's hear what the audience had to say about the documentary's debut.
I think just the sheer volume and how devastating it is, and how unspoken and unshown the true side of what refugees go through, the human side of what refugees go through.
For me, I think it's just how sick humanity can actually be at times, be it from the causes of what we're seeing, and also the reactions to our rescuing them. You know, the idea that people are opposing the rescues is outrageous, first of all. The fact that not more is being done in Syria internationally and hasn't been done for the last 10, 15, 20 years is ridiculous. It just goes on and on and on and on. It's a bit, sometimes you think that humanity has lost its way.
Well, I think it was really horrific, really affecting, because you had one moment where one dead baby was coming up after the other, and one dead child after another, and the dark and the noise and all of that, that's the scene that stays with you.
Having watched the film, is that the news reports, you see migrants coming across. In the film, you never see the news, you never see the dead ones. And I think the death scenes in this movie is what really impresses you. That's a reality that's happening all the time, which we don't see in the news media. It's very touching, and it also makes a lasting impression that people are dying. And that's what this film is trying to give forward, that you walk away with that in mind. People are dying all the time, longer we leave it.
What can I do to help, I think, is the main, the last thing is those children. They're human. Seeing it's not a question of migrants, refugees, it's human beings. You know, that's the main thing.
In the next podcast.
By spending enough time, we could get a glimpse of the dimension of this crisis, but just a glimpse. It was not, even the project doesn't describe the complexity of this crisis or this situation, but just gives a clue about it. And we were shocked by doing it. We were shocked by collecting all this information.
We're discussing the dangerous world of human trafficking along one of Africa's most well-known routes. We'll be speaking to journalists, academics, and organizations documenting the harsh reality, its financial connections, and ways to monitor it on the ground. Until then, you can follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can support our rescue missions by giving whatever you can to help save lives at sea. From all of us here at MOAS, goodbye.